Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire podcast is being recorded and aired for September the 20th, 2025. Every so often, I get these wonderful kind of questions. They're very interesting. They have open door kind of policy to them. They're saying more than the question itself, and that is always intriguing to me. This comes from Albert. He does not tell me where he lives. He says, how can I feel good about myself or my life when I am not? When I am not. Oh, Albert. There is so much to this question, and I'm at a kind of a loss here because I don't know you. I wish I knew more about you. I wish I knew how you operate, the way you think, where you live from within yourself. I wish I knew. But the thing about it is, the not feeling good about yourself projects upon your life, not feeling good about life itself. How can I feel good when I am not, basically, is what he's saying. You can't. And these emotions that you suffer from, I don't know you well enough or at all to really comment on this, but it could be very much your genetics. This could be something handed down to you emotionally, and then, of course, it affects the psychology of us. And then the next thing you know, you feel very bad about yourself because, for all intents and purposes, this is all you know. This is just the way you are. This is a very difficult thing for people to overcome. Very, very difficult. And I try to help people with this. I really do. But you can't fix the human. This is something that you must begin to understand. At this point in your life, much like with my students who tried futilely to try to fix every aspect of their persona, their ego, their psychology, they just can't do it. Even when they know or think they know that what they are is not exactly what they think. And when they want to believe that they are more than what they think, they still struggle and struggle and struggle because there are a slew of habits, and these habits go unnoticed. So while they're thinking quote-unquote positive things, on the other end, there is this little demon and devil in them, this unconscious mind is what it is, that belongs to their genetic acuities, and then that takes over. It just seeps in there and overcomes, and they don't even know what's happening. This is something that most of us suffer from one way or another. Some people try to deal with it in a superior way, some people an inferior way. The difficulty is that we have a very hard time changing. And the change, in my humble opinion, after 50-some years, is very rare. And if you want to really move away from this idea that you're not so good, and maybe you're not, maybe you don't have any sense of virtue or loving kindness. Most people don't. I would say most of the people I encounter outside the world, outside the place I live and work and have my being in, they're basically prone to evil. They are. And it's the way of the collective unconscious. They belong to this oceanic collective unconscious that is filled with all sorts of hypocrisy and craziness. And the next thing you know, you're a part of it. If you listen to the news too much, let me say this, Albert. This is all I can say because I can't address you. Because I don't know you. I don't do generalities very well. I'm into the individuality of a person. But if you sit there and listen to the news, and you listen to all the corruption and the crap that goes on in this world, it's probably pretty shocking to you. I know it is to me. And as far as what it all means and how it works within this world, it could, if you were not careful and you were not diligent, it could seep into your brain. It could seep into your unconscious mind and become the only way you know how to live is from this push-pull self-hatred, hate of the world, looking at the world with all of its sham and drudgery, and think to yourself, well, what's the use? Really, what's the use? It is what it is. I might as well just do it. It'll be your first inclination, I guarantee it. We are natural-born killers. Born by the nature of our DNA, we are hunters as men and gatherers as women, you know, all that stuff. If you read Harari Sapiens, it would help you immensely. Well, I hope so. I mean, I don't know you, but it would help you. You would get an overall picture of what's going on in this lifetime, in this world, in you. You'd get a better sense of what the meaning of, you know, your biology is. It would literally help you. And then if you would read maybe Behave or Determined by Robert Sapolsky, you would go even further in understanding that we have no free will to do anything that is beyond our genetics if we live in and of and by the human carcass, by the body. Now, I can say this and teach this until I'm blue in the face. It wouldn't matter. You're going to do what you're going to do based on what is most, shall we say, exciting or profound to you or comes easiest to you. If you have cultivated through listening to the news and listening to other people and going through the means and motion of everything, if you get involved in all of that and that becomes the way, the truth, and the light for you, there is nothing anyone can do for you, absolutely nothing, because you're going to do what you're going to do because you've programmed yourself that way, and that's the way it's going to be. So this is where I can't help people, and I understand it, and I've been doing this for years, and I used to say to the crowd I was with on Sunday mornings, if you were as diligent, really diligent, with the way you live your life as a human being and would shift that over to maybe a practice a little bit, that would change and alter some of your opinions ever so slightly, and you might find a door out of the human. You have to transcend. There is no other way to deal with this other than transcending. That means going out of the rat race of our human acuities and begin to discover and dig out of this human acuity and begin to discover who and what we really are. We are the what of a inner being that can become a who if we want it to be, but it won't be like a persona anymore. It will be about the magnificence of love within us. And this love that lives within us exceeds the human idea of moral beliefs and conduct. It goes beyond all of that. It is so beautiful. It is so meaningful. It can't be taught. It must be caught. You have to catch it within yourself. You can't sit there day in and day out condemning yourself like you seem to in this email, where you think to yourself, I'm not good enough, or I'm not good at all, and how can there be good if I'm not good? And that's a very good question to ask yourself. It's important. If you could focus, concentrate, and kind of sit in that meditatively, you might find the answer. If not, well, there will be many things in this world you will get to experience, none of which you will probably like, but they will be there. And if you're aware, if you're diligent, you can probably get some insight a little bit It's a hard and difficult struggle, but that's the way people live, and it's not something anyone can change until they're ready to find the ilk of love in them. Oh, Albert, I wish I knew you. I wish I could help you. Anyway, thank you for your question. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back on the air tomorrow. And of course, as always, please forgive me. Namaste.